Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church Time for Worship. We're glad you could join us, and we hope you enjoy the message from Pastor Dave Barrett.
Shall we pray this morning then? Gracious and loving God, thank you. Thank you for butterflies. Thank you for milkweed. Thank you for children. Thank you for the gifts you give to us each and every day. Thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for cooler weather. Thank you for the rain. We pray, Lord, for those who, yes, are facing health issues. Be with them, pick them up, and lift them, especially those who have COVID. We pray for those who are in facilities. Lift them up. Let them know that there are people who care and love for them each and every day. Lord, we pray for those, yes, who have a prayer upon their heart, whether it's a prayer to say, wow, or a prayer to say, thank you, or a prayer to say, help me, help me, help me. We know, Lord, you'll reach out and you'll touch. Be with those and pray for those who serve this community, whether it's police or fire or ambulance or BMT. Pray for those, yes, we lift up and ask that you protect those who serve this country, whatever military service they may be in. Bring them home at the end of the time that they may be with their families. And finally, we pray for President Biden. We ask for wisdom to lead this country and all who advise him, that we may live together as a country in peace, in harmony, and justice. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Aletta?
Please join me in the call to worship. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment.
Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me.
You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
Shall we sing? Just as I am, without one plea.
Thank you.
please join me in the opening prayer. God of the lowly and the mighty, you know the ugliness of your people when we harm and destroy one another. Yet you offer us forgiveness of our sins if we but turn to you. Expand our hearts to receive the mercy you give us, that in turn we may share your grace and mercy with others each moment of our lives. Amen.
Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear the good news. We have been forgiven and always loved. No, you could. It's in there. Yeah.
Scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Francis. God is good. And all the time. That's better. That's better. We'll work on that. Okay. Someone recently asked me about what is the Revised Common Lectionary. And I explained to him that the Revised Common Lectionary is the four readings, the four scripture lessons, which have been assigned to every Sunday throughout the year, plus other special days like Christmas, Christmas Eve, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday. In fact, everything through Holy Week has a reading. Each one has four lessons assigned to it. Those lessons are always lined up this way. There is an Old Testament lesson. There is a psalm. There is a New Testament lesson, or in other words, an epistle or a letter. And then there is a gospel, which comes from either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And sometimes they often follow in sequence. Some of them will match up. For example, today, the Old Testament lesson is about Nahum going to visit King David and explaining to him what he did with Bathsheba. The psalm, Psalm 51, is from David asking God for forgiveness for what he did. Now, having said that, I had tend to preach from the Common Lectionary. The reason is, when I started this process 16, 17 years ago, I was told that's the best way to do it because it's easier and it makes you work harder. It's easier in a sense you can find all kinds of material online, and you can also find it in books. That there are recommended hymns for the Common Lectionary scripture lessons. There are recommended readings. There are recommended prayers. All of that fits together. And that's what I do when I do worship planning. And it's also more difficult in that every time it's different. So you have to do a little more research, a little more reading. You can't just preach the same sermon over and over and over again. But that leads to another question. Because you see, the Revised Common Lectionary is on a three-year rotation. So in other words, 3 years ago in 2018, on this, the first Sunday of August, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, those same scripture lessons were offered. And there may have been a sermon from something like that. 3 years from now, in 2024, it will be exactly the same way. So I know you look at me and you say, wow, gee, Pastor Dave, that preaching business is pretty easy, isn't it? You write a sermon for 3 years, and then you just keep repeating and follow the Common Lectionary. And I go, well, maybe. And then again, maybe not. Maybe you just take it and warm it back up. It's kind of like leftovers sometimes. Maybe you take and you reestablish and renuke it so that it warms up even better than that. Sometimes you learn from what you did 3 years ago. So for those of you who were here 3 years ago or 6 years ago, did you hear a lesson from This letter of Ephesians. You all come back in 3 years and we'll see what I've got to say in 3 years now, okay? I'll not put the responsibility on you. Now, but along with that, there are a lot of preachers that don't like the common lectionary. They do what's called a sermon series, that they find that there is a certain storyline or a certain set that matches up beautifully, and they work it down through and they come up with about a 5 or 6 series lessons. And that's all right. That's okay. Because they all kind of tie together, and it makes you want to come back. What did he say this week? What did she say next week? Whatever else, we carry it on down through. But today you've got both. If you were here last week, you know I got talking about the 5 signs north of Keokuk on Highway 218, which starts out and says that we the people, united we stand, in God we trust, love your neighbor, and it's just that simple. And so we spent about 20 minutes last week talking about in God we trust and how that comes from part of what we read from the letter to Ephesians. And then I worked this one through with the letter from Ephesians chapter 4 and realized it's all about unity. It's all about unity. United we stand. So here we are, 5 signs, 2nd sign, united we stand, but yet it comes directly to us from Ephesians. Chapter 4. We as the body of Christ, we as the church, need to be united. Period. Amen? Amen. Let's talk a little bit about Ephesians, okay? It is a letter. It is written to the church in Ephesus, which used to be there 2,000 years ago, a thriving community on the west side of what is now the country of Turkey. Today it's just a big archaeological dig. People no longer live there. You could visit and walk through and see where they were, but it's no longer there. The Apostle Paul was there for somewhere between 2 and 3 years. It was part of his third missionary trip, and so he spent a great deal of time there. And we did several things. He was a very busy man. Not only did he preach, but he also taught. And so he's had kind of like a small seminary going, teaching pastors how to go out. And then there were various churches in the communities around which he started. And so, yes, he was kind of like a bishop and a seminary professor all together at the same time. As I said, he was a very busy man. Scholars look at this letter to the Ephesians and they say, well, it could be this, it could be that. It could be what we call a generic letter. In other words, written to multiple churches, delivered to the pastor, and he or she would have read it on a Sunday morning as part of a sermon. And that's a great idea, because it is very, very thoughtful. Because if you look at it closely, verse 3 says to Ephesus. If you saw the original, you'd go back and say, well, maybe somebody different wrote that in. Maybe somebody said, this goes to here, this goes to here, goes to here, goes to here. All different kinds of mail. Now, that's where it came from. But who wrote it? Verse 1 says it's from Paul. Paul says he wrote it. Some people say, no, he didn't. Why do you think that? You think that because if you read Paul's letters, he usually has a personal reference in there. He's talking to somebody, or he's telling them to do something. And the letter to, well, the biggest one is the letter to Philippians. He writes a letter to 2 women. They have churches, and they don't agree. And he's telling them, work it out. And he's telling everybody else to pray that they work it out. There's none of that in here. This is all theological. So maybe Paul wrote it. Maybe Paul didn't. Maybe somebody said, I'll write this and say this to Paul. Whoever did an excellent job. The first 3 chapters are theology, practical theology. It's a relationship between you and God. It tells you more about what you need to do and how God loves you. Chapter 1 is all about grace. Grace is the undeserved love of God, which comes to you because God loves you and because of the actions of Jesus Christ. You're a sinner, no matter what you think you are. You're a sinner, you break the law every day, but God loves you and God forgives you of those sins because of what Jesus Christ did for you. That's grace. That's chapter 1. Chapter 3 we spent some time on last week. It's all about, yes, you know, trust in God. It's a prayer. God, or whoever authored it, prayed that the Christ will come and be in your heart, will live in you, and that your love will be rooted and grounded in you. That's faith. That's trust. Here we are, chapter 4. First word, therefore. We're changing tunes. Y'all are aware that whoever wrote this didn't break it down and said, here's chapter 1, and wrote this and marked the scriptures lessons. And when he got to the word, therefore, he marked it as chapter 4. You know that they didn't do that originally? Okay. Well, if you don't believe me, here's how you do it. Okay. You go to Ireland. You go to Dublin. You go to Trinity College. You go to the library. They've got in there what's called the Book of Kells. It's an original Bible, handwritten. It's absolutely beautiful. They will let you look at it. You can't touch it. It's under glass. And then they will tell you what scripture verses there are today. They rotate. They change them every day. You look at it, you say, well, there's no number. That's right. When they copied it, they wrote the letter, they didn't break it out, chapter and verse. That was done by some publisher sometime after that, so that they could make sure that each Bible has the correct verses in it. But if you look at the Book of Kells, you'll see it handwritten in Latin with pictures. And then you can think of Francis and I as we were there visiting, yes? And then go down to the gift store and buy yourself a really nice tie, okay? You can do all those things. Chapter 4. Therefore, this is how you live your life. All humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. That's how you live your life. That's Christian ethics. You've learned about how God loves you and how God, and you have faith in God, and now you are to do these things. Patience, or humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. And then he breaks it down even further. He says that there is love with oneness. You are to have oneness in your love. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. One, 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 one. You're to have unity, one, 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 seven times. He says it seven times because seven is completeness. Seven is wholeness. There's 7 days in a week. You go through the week, you complete it, 7 days, you start over again. Seven. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father for us all. Oneness. The author wants you to say unity with one because of the fact he wrote it to the church at Ephesus, which was not one. It was diverse. There were people which came with Hebrew or Jewish ancestry. There are those that came with non-Jewish ancestry, Gentiles. They all came together and they formed a church. They didn't necessarily understand each other, but they formed a church. Diversity. Bring it together. One. Where are we? Same place. Same place as they were 2,000 years ago. We come from different aspects of life, different parts of wherever else. Your ancestors came from somewhere in Eastern Europe, Middle Europe, Western Europe, Africa, Asia, wherever else. And here we are. One church. One body of Christ. Why? For the purpose of building up the church and advancing us and carrying the word outward, the good news of Jesus Christ. One, 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 one. Now, he doesn't just stop with all his ones. He keeps on going. He says that, yes, unity comes because of peace. Living with each other. The absence of, if you wish to say, tension. The absence of disputes. Living together with peace. Peace and forgiveness for each other. That's how you live together. That's one. United as one. Now, love, oneness, peace. And then he starts in with two metaphors. The first metaphor is he talks about the concept that, yes, the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are to carry the message out. But the body of Christ is composed of different parts. And typically we talk about the head, which is Christ himself. But there's arms and legs and organs and whatever else to all fit together. And that's us. Each one of us is different and unique and has a different quality and different abilities, but we are to work together. One body, one church, united we stand. Now, if you don't like that metaphor, here's another one. He talks about the fact that what? We say God and Father. Family. We are family. For those of you who have siblings, you understand that you don't always agree with your brothers and sisters. I understand that. My sister and I don't agree on everything. But yet we're one family. We live together. We recognize that we are children of God. And as children of God, we work together. One. Peace. Family. All in the body of Christ. United we stand. I got two more points to make. Two more points. He mentions the concept about truth and love. Speak to each other with truth and love. Wouldn't that be wonderful if everybody we knew spoke to us about truth and love? Wouldn't it be wonderful if they spoke to us, if politicians said that to us? Wouldn't that be wonderful if newscasters said that to us? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the things that you could read on the internet are truth and love? You are to speak the truth to each other and speak it in love. Yes, we each one of us understands what is truth and what's truth to me, and I say it needs to be this way, this way, this way, this way, and say it gently. Sometimes you may not agree with what I've got for truth. That's your choice. But I've said it to you in love. Speak the truth in love. That's united. And the last one is to understand that even though we are united, we all agree, we have concepts about what is the body of Christ and working together. We're all diverse. We all don't like the same things. We all don't like the same color. We all don't like the same food. We all don't drive the same kind of cars. We all don't live in the same kind of houses. We all each have our own schedules that we live upon. But yet, we are to be united. We don't all agree upon the same social issues. But yet, we are united. And we speak to each other with truth and love. You've been called as children of God to a family. You've been called as the body of Christ to be part of the body of Christ. You've been told the oneness. And you've also been told that, yes, do that and speak to each other in truth and love. Amen. Gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you because you have spoken to us in truth with love and told us not only how much you love us, but what we are to do. Put your Spirit in us each and every day so that we understand we are part of the whole, we are part of the body of Christ, we are part of the family of God, and we are to be united, united in love as we carry forth, yes, this, your body, and shake the message to the rest of the world. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Shall we stand, if able, for the benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his love upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. Keep the faith. Spread the faith. Amen. Shall we sing?